So on the first page of our study, I wanted to read aloud what James Montgomery Boyce says about Psalm 91 as we lower ourselves down into this psalm tonight. He says there on page 37, "All the psalms are from God and are wonderful. But some have commended themselves to God's people as being especially rich and comforting, and to which they have repeatedly turned to in times of sickness, loneliness, and trouble. Psalm 91 is one of these special psalms. It has been committed to heart by thousands of people, and millions have turned to it with thankfulness in the midst of life's calamities." So, I would like us to start by reading... I want to read it in a moment. I want to ask you a question, and then you're going to talk at your table for just a second. Most of us, some of you, of course, are outliers. Most of us, though, enjoy making something with our hands. Some item, something. Maybe it's something crafty, like you like to quilt or make afghans, or maybe garden. Maybe you are a chef and you like to make meals, maybe especially for others. Batch of brownies, a beautiful wrapped present. Or maybe we go in a different directions and you use your hands to make a child feel loved, or the elderly, or widows. You make friends feel appreciated in your offerings to others. And the things we can make is endless. So today, as we kick off, I just want to ask you, of all the things that you might make with your hands, which for you is the one you really enjoy? So take a moment to tell your table, because this will be a great thing for them all to learn about you. What is something you enjoy making or doing with your hands? Go. So I know that there is some bread making in here. Some people that make cards, maybe not actually here tonight. Food, gardening. Did anyone say something like, "I'm really not in the hand stuff. I much prefer like something else"? Amber?
Yeah, I'm not creative. Like everyone else in my family is.
So did you have something else?
I'm just cleaning.
Uh huh.
I told her she can come to my house.
Right. Sure, her back would love that. Anything else, or does everyone have a handcraft they like?
I'm not crafty, but I like to hug.
Hey, amen. Use your hands to hug people. Yep. It's good. All right, so of all the things that we might make in the world, like you're wondering, why are we talking about this, Jill? Of all the things we might make, we need to be busy making the Lord our dwelling place. And when you picture your home and how you have made it comfortable for you and your family, strong and protective and all those things, in the same way, God is that for us. That is our tie-in there. So let's read Psalm 91. And I put a picture of mine up here as an inspiration. If your book doesn't look like this, then there's some steps you missed in your homework, right? I'm not sure that the pink and green were in your homework. that was me highlighting, what was the trial. You know, like all the pink things are the trial, and then all the green parts were what God was doing, his protection. So that was just something extra I did. But this is just an encouragement to you to really dig into your text. And my computer, I do this on my iPad, and so it has like instant triangle and like instant box. And so that makes things like this really easy, where I can just put a triangle on there and stuff like that. So I just wanted to pop this up there as an encouragement to you. But let's read Psalm 91 in your book. It's on page 38. And let's see, can I get three volunteers? First two verses, then the middle chunk, then the last chunk. Elizabeth, first chunk. Sue, middle. Mom, also known as Laura. Last three verses. All right, let's read it together.
He who dwells in the secret place shall abide of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and a fortress, my God, in him will I trust.
Truly, he shall deliver you from the snare shade with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot.
Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Did anyone notice the shift in speakers there? Really threw me for a loop when I started marking the last three verses, because I realized that the he and the me had shifted who was talking. And I was like, I did this totally wrong. So I had to do it all over again because it shifted who was talking. Do we know who the author is of Psalm 91? Remember, those of you who did the chart the first week, no author is listed here. So we don't know. But we know they went through some big stuff. It's possible it was Moses, but we have no concrete proof, so we are not going to say that. But we have three sections here, and while we're here on this page, it looks like it's broken up the way that we had it read, but one of the commentaries I was reading kind of grouped it a little bit differently, and so I'm just going to share that with you. If that interests you, then you might just want to jot this down. It may or may not, but this other commentator grouped actually the first four verses, if you wanted to, you know, triangulate, group them in the first four verses. He titled it Faith in God, the Hidden Life. So, the Hidden Life. But that section is called Faith in God. And then from 5 down to 13 would be Peace from God. And then he subtitled it The Satisfied Life. Pretty interesting considering all that terrible stuff that's going on in there in the hot pink on the screen. The Satisfied Life despite all these things? Yes. Peace from God, despite what's going on. And then the last stanza, 14 to 16, love for God. And I can see I got one of the subtitles wrong because I have two here. So, the same. So we'll just say it's faith in God, peace from God, love for God are the general breakdown of this psalm for us. Okay. If you go to the last page of your study, this is normally where we like to put our handwritten charts. I don't know what page it is, 30, 40 something?
50.
50, yeah, it's long less than that. On page 50, there should be a blank page, and if you would like to write in our chart for the night, when we make the Lord our dwelling place, these are the things we will do, and this is the difference it will make. Can you guys read that in the back row? I need to keep playing with my font size. How you doing, Mom? Can you read this one?
Pretty much.
Okay. When we make the Lord our dwelling place, these are the things we will do and the difference it will make. While you guys are doing that, I'll take a second to say you may have noticed there's some stuff on the wall here tonight. And so the dwelling place is one of the attributes of God that we can say he is our dwelling place. As you can see, there are a lot of names of God. This is just a handful of the hundreds of names for God. This is a project that my kids and I did, mostly them, you can see. I honestly think it was about 13 years ago. So looking at some of the drawings of my oldest son, who's now 24, and I was like, he was probably around 10 or 11. So it was quite a while ago, and I'm actually so glad I saved these. And we'll talk about them at the end, but we did that with this book here called God's Names, and it's from Children Desiring God. And we just, for our morning study, we would go through and we would read the section, ask the questions, look at the verses, and then I had pre-printed all the names of God with a different font, and then one of the kids got to decorate for that name of God. And so we've got all different levels of coloring going on over there. And so some of them you can guess by looking at them what they are. I know some of them are a little more enigmatic, like why is Disneyland up there? and, you know, I can tell you about that later or even tell you what some of those names mean. I have my book open to that page if you have that question later. Oops. Okay. So I just wanted to talk about the obvious that are over there, and I thought that would be an encouragement to you, especially those of you who are moms and grandmas. Like, it is a great opportunity to actually talk about the names of God with our kids and to do, you know, just some memorable things as we study them. And it's so fun to still have those and to be able to share those with you. But that is days 4 and 5, so just wanted to address the obvious, get our chart ready, and now we're going to go back to page 39 to day 1. And last week, I think that I was confusing to some of you. Sometimes I'm asking a question that's in the book, and sometimes I'm just asking a question, and I've sat in your seat before, so I understand how you could be like, where on the page? And meanwhile, I'm up here, and I'm like, they're being really quiet. So tonight, I'm going to try something new where I will be asking questions on the page. I'm going to try to go more in order tonight and skip around less. But if I'm asking you a question that's not in the book, I'm going to say, let's think about this and ask you a different question. All right, so I've written it in my book. I've highlighted it. So it's like, okay, ladies, let's think about this. That way we're all really clear, like, oh, Jill's asking us something new. So I'm hoping that that will be helpful for you tonight. So here we go. On page 39, we're going to say we read Psalm 91 aloud, and then under number 2, it does Psalm 91 does not reveal the name of its author, but the text does reveal much about him. And at first I was like, it does? Oh, but when you dig in, you find out it does. What did you learn or conclude about the author and his life?
That he knows the Lord personally and abides and trusts in him.
Yeah, knows God personally, abides in him, dwells with him, knows him personally. What else?
Calls on him.
Did anyone find anything else? Sue?
He's comfortable speaking to God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's confident and trusts in God.
Good.
In a time that's fraught with danger from disease, enemies, war, and even deadly animals.
Yes. Yeah. Even the cobra and the lion. Did that make you feel like your life might be a little cush? I know, I was reading this, I was like, gosh, what am I complaining about? Yes, also in verse 9, he said he made God his refuge. In 14, received God's love, was delivered by God, set on high for knowing God's name. Okay, so this is someone God has saved him from something. 15 says he was able, we discussed this one, able to call upon God, answered in trouble, delivered and honored by God. Wow. And then in 16, given long life for his satisfaction, and he was shown salvation. So, again, I'm really pushing on you guys this fall. If you didn't get that many answers, okay, this is just like your note to, okay, how can I look even deeper at the text when I'm trying to pull out, like, as much as I can. So I just figure I'm up here, I'm just going to push on you. So, all right, in verses 1 and 2, what seems to be the first thing the author wants his readers to know? First thing, usually the most important part of a paragraph, right? Opening sentence. Good. Yep. Yep, that was a good summary of dwelling and abiding in God as our fortress. And then we looked at the I will statements. What seems to be the last thing, the final thing at the end of the section that the Lord wants us to know? What does God want you to know when you finish Psalm 91? He does what? Sorry, a little louder. He delivers those who love him. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Uh-huh.
He will answer your prayers and he will bless you abundantly with long life, honor, and salvation.
Yeah, that's amazing. We who were rebels, who were shaking our fists in God's face, he promises that he will answer us, that he will help us in times of trouble, he will satisfy our desires, he will honor us and deliver us. Whoa, why do I ever question his goodness to me? Three verses right there. That's all we need to know about the faithfulness of God, right? Like how amazing he is. So you can see like the Boyce quote at the beginning, why people cling to this psalm in particular. So verses 1 and 2 at the beginning encapsulate the message of 91, and the final verses give the divine confirmation of the truth. And so then if we look in the middle section, all right, so the top and the bottom go well together, but what is the purpose of the middle section? This is question 3B. Why do you think that middle section is in there? Kathy?
I put these verses express in detail the blessing of his divine sovereign care.
Uh-huh. How detailed? Yeah. Yeah, from big to small. So what is the overall tone that you end up walking away from Psalm 91 with? This is question C there. What did you walk away with as the tone of the song? What did you hear at table two here? Did one of you, or did Christy? Can you say a little louder, please, Christy?
Comforting and trusting.
Okay, so you felt comforted. It helped you to trust in God. What else?
Hope.
In the back, I missed it.
Joy and peace.
Did you have something?
Confidence.
Victorious. Excellent, yes. Very uplifting promises, aren't they? All right, so there's a lot of terrible stuff in there, but because we can see that and how the Lord is in all of those, you can see it here, right? All the turquoise is what the Lord is doing. So the Lord is in there alongside all of the trials, which encourages and uplifts our hearts. So then you did some more study that ended up giving you, you know, the passage with all the markings on it there in question four. Flip over or look over at the next page. And we see a focus on the metaphors for safety. So we have secret place, shadow, refuge, and fortress. So what does secret place say to you? Colleen?
Rest from the storm.
Ooh, rest from the storm. Good. Anyone have something different than that?
Danger and trouble can't find me.
Yes, so you're hidden, secreted away from danger and trouble. I'm picturing, like, David hiding in the wilderness from Saul, like the hidden place where he won't be found, like ultimate hide and seek here. The secret place. By God, he is the secret place. All right, what does shadow say to you? Okay.
Shelter, like from light.
Yeah, especially here in Florida. We're like, hey, we love the shadows. Our feet don't get burned on the pavement there. It's a little relief from making my forehead sweat. So a shadow is also, like I said, the protection from heat. But here's a question. Let's think about it. What is necessary for you to be in the shadow of something? Proximity, right? Yep, closer. You have to be near it to benefit from the shadow of it, for the most part. So close proximity is something that you might want to think about when you read about being in the shadow of the Almighty. You're really close. The shadow is able to cover you. All right, what about refuge? What does that say to you?
Safety and security.
Safety and security. Yep, a refuge, a safe hiding place. And then fortress.
Impenetrable.
Nice word. Yep, it's strong protection. We memorized a verse about that for our study a couple years ago, right? Does anyone remember it? The Lord, our God, is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Again, the righteous person is putting themselves into the place of refuge. Putting yourself into the proximity to be in the shadow of. And we talk about this in other parts of life. Like, I don't feel near God. I'm praying and I feel like it's hitting the ceiling. Is God the problem? We're the problem. It's not God. He is unchanging, ever present, always powerful. These things never change. Okay, so again, it's when we're unrighteous, we're walking away from protection. When we're sinning, we're leaving the fortress. We're getting out of the shadow. We're leaving the secret place. You have to be putting yourself in close proximity, and the promises there hold true. Wow. The psalm just comes alive, doesn't it? So exciting. So in question B there, right under that, in using these graphic metaphors, what is the psalmist trying to help you understand? What's the main overarching point there? Despite all the peril, we are safe and protected in God. That's right. And I really enjoyed looking at the personal pronouns that we were highlighted in there. Like, he is my. He is my. He is personal. It is not general. Personal to every single one of us individually. It's like we get God direct. He's not distracted. It's each one of us. That's incredible. So amazing. All right, so we need to stay and dwell. We need to make God our dwelling place because he is the secret place. He's the shadow. He's the refuge. He's the fortress. All right, down there towards the bottom of page 40, you did some more work looking at verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. The word made means to set, to make, to determine, to fix. How, as believers, how do we make the Lord our dwelling place? Okay. Uh-huh. Good. Uh-huh. Now, Christina, if we were to make a dwelling place, what would we need to do?
Build it and decorate it.
Yep. See, I knew particularly you'd be a good one to answer this one, right? Like, you got to get out the hammer, the nails. You got to get to work. You got to, and then, of course, we like to make things beautiful. So you need to build it. You need to strengthen it, secure it, get those hurricane shutters ready to go, right? Like, there's work involved in creating a strong dwelling place. The verse says, make the Lord your dwelling place. Now, you're not creating your own idea of God, you know, no. But you're actively working to entrust yourself to him as your dwelling place. All right. Other than the Lord, who or what else might someone make? a dwelling place, refuge, or place of safety.
Things, possessions, family, kids and spouses, our own abilities and strengths, our power of success, jobs, sports, TV, entertainment, travel, friends, and food.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Jill. That was very complete. I don't even know what was missed. Anything. Anything that we find comfort from, right? We're like, cozy sweater season, pumpkin spice. Okay, we're going to feel cozy and sheltered. Or maybe you have a weighted blanket like some people in my family. Just need my blankie. I need my blankie. Your income, people, of course. I mean, wow, Jill, you even got down to food. Anything we use to find comfort in is trying to make that our dwelling place and not our capital D dwelling place, right?
Jill,
yes.
I took it as a positive. I wasn't thinking of it from the other aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you know, your family, your church family, like that's how I took it.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah.
Other than the Lord, who or what else might someone make a dwelling place, refuge, or place of safety? But at the end of the day, God has to be sufficient and enough.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But what a blessing that he provides the other things.
Amen. Because he abundantly blesses us. Yeah. I mean, the verses we've already read of what he gives us, unworthy slaves. We're not wearing, we're not a slave who's malnourished and poorly dressed and gets to sleep under the stars. He has abundantly cared for us. But even if he did, he would still be righteous and good. So, okay, let's think. Hint, this isn't in your book. Does it really matter who or what we make our dwelling place? Yes. In other words, what is the problem with placing your ultimate trust in something or someone other than the Lord?
It will fail.
It will fail. You're worshiping something, not God. Idol.
You're going to come back.
What's that?
So you're going to come back to it time and time again versus going to God and changing.
Yes, because it's never going to be. What's that?
Never going to satisfy.
Never going to satisfy. That's right. That's right. What happens if a particular blanket you've had since you were a child is not with you at some point? Are you going to lose it? Are you just going to perish? You know, like there, God has to be enough in case there is literally nothing else. He blesses us with all the other things, but we don't have to have them. You were going to answer it too?
I just said you won't be protected.
Or protected, which is our point right here. That's right. And boy, do we need protection in ways we don't even understand. Don't even know what's going on in the heavenly realms. What's going on that we can't see, that we don't understand. So we need his protection. We need him to be our safe dwelling place. In this fallen world, many people do not grow up actually in a safe home environment. They don't know what it's like to be a child who's just loved and cared for and safe. Is it possible for them to truly embrace these verses? Let me hear your theology. Amber says yes. Is it possible for someone whose childhood does not include a safe dwelling to actually believe these verses that God is their dwelling place? Praise God.
I think once you come to the Lord, you're fine.
Right, because he becomes it.
He's a good thing.
Uh-huh.
You've lived all that thing.
That's right. So some verses you might think of would be to support. God makes beauty from
ashes.
Behold, the old has passed away. New has come. We are new creatures in Christ. What he has started, he will be faithful to complete. So there is a completion process that's happening, sanctification. But he is sufficient to fill every crack and crevice that has ever been missing in your life. So you guys know the answer to that one. That was a gimme. All right, page 41. How are we doing? We're going slowly. Okay. So God is also our refuge and fortress, and in your present circumstances, this is 9C, which of these names is your heart most drawn to that we have discussed so far? Shout it out.
My God.
My God. Most High. El Elyon. God means divine power. Okay. On our chart, we're just going to, whoops, that's not you again. This one's you. It's a lot of work to try to bring all of our discussion into the points. I would love to just write it as we go, but that my writing is way too messy on the iPad. So I'm just going to give you what is offered to you. So we have talked about when we make the Lord our dwelling place, things we will do. According to this passage, we will choose to dwell and abide. We will choose to talk about the Lord. We will choose to state the truth. We will choose to give testimony. We will recall his names to mind, and we will take him as our own. Those are things that we can get from the first part of the psalm that we've talked about. This part we haven't got to quite yet, so there it is if you want to have it. That's for the next part. All right, so now we're going to look at the perils in Psalm 91. The perils. The author uses vivid poetic language to describe the many perils we face in this world. If we were to write this psalm today, what would we use in place of the snare of the fowler, the perilous pestilence, the terror by night, the arrow by day, pestilence at night also, destruction, evil, plague, stones, lions, cobras, young lions, serpents. Tell me about your life. What are the perils in your life? Evil, wickedness. All right, let's talk about what's the greatest natural disaster that hits Florida? Hurricanes. Hurricanes. How many of you love those? How many of you are thrilled with this year's hurricane season, right? Oh, good. Calm. It's been many years of not calm, okay? That is, a hurricane would definitely fit in this song if they got hurricanes where this author had lived, okay? What else? Everyone who lives outside of Florida is like, oh, no, don't move to Florida. There's alligators. The rest of us are like, pretty easy to avoid. Not sure what your problem is. All right. What other pestilence is in Florida?
Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes. No-see-ums. Gnats.
Roaches.
Roaches. All right. What are some... Go outside of Florida now, okay? Tell me this psalm today. What else? Car accidents. Tori?
Media.
Jerry Rack says the walls of our homes are now porous. Like, go back, even when I was a teenager, the only way in our home was, you know, someone calls in, you turn on the TV. Now people see in and out, et cetera. Pardon me. What else? Gunfire, shooting, yep, I have that one down. Yeah. Kidnapping. Cancer. Did you say cancer? Yep. Disease. Medical malpractice. Unchecked rage over differences of opinion. We even have more intolerances, allergies in our bodies, and other things. So there are a lot of things that you can translate even in your mind of how this plays out for you. Yeah, did you?
I just said something more general, not personal, but false teachers out there, the many churches that are leading people away from Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. In this day and age, there was, you know, a handful of other false prophets, but it's always been around. Yeah. Still today, still back then. Some dangers that we have might be self-inflicted. Like, we're making poor choices. We're not learning and growing. If you look at the bottom of page 41 there, there were dangers listed that were vague. In addition, some are literal and some are figurative. Some indicate physical danger, some spiritual danger. So we had just this list that you would have looked over between literal physical danger of the lion's den, and then we have the spiritual danger of the devil walking about like a lion. So let's think about this. On any given day, do you think we are more concerned about physical dangers or spiritual dangers? Physical, Colleen says. Anyone not say physical?
We have it pretty easy, really.
What?
I think we kind of have it easy as far as physical
dangers. Uh-huh.
Compared to...
Like a third world country, perhaps? Yeah. Yeah. Sue, what were you going to say?
For me, it's more spiritual.
Yeah. And that is a subjective question based on, you know, everyone's different day to day and what you might be. Oh, that's the phones, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a connection between physical and spiritual dangers? Let's say you get a physical danger in your life. How could that affect you spiritually? Fear and anxiety are killers. They just strangle the life out of our faith. So we have to make sure that our physical dangers are not creating spiritual danger. And that comes through knowing the Word and what you believe, your theology, your study of God. If all you have for the rest of your life is Psalm 91, would you be more inclined to trust the Lord? I would be. It's very helpful spiritually. So if you have the right spiritual strength, when the physical trial comes, you will go over that more like a gentle speed bump than like going over a whole curb. Right? How does it shake you up? Is it more gentle? Okay, the Lord is with me. That's hard, but He is my safe refuge. Or is it you hit it and your car, you know, you're slammed and you got whiplash and what happens? And you spiritually struggle because you weren't ready for the physical trial. So I truly believe that the Lord has given us a lot of individuals in our body that are being very good examples of suffering physically very well. And you see them spiritually growing because they're just like sucking in these scriptures like this one, that are strengthening them spiritually so that even though life is hard and painful every day, every moment, spiritually they're not getting sucked into doubting God. They could cling to this kind of psalm. And so big mental note for yourself. Oh, okay. It's not if, it's when the trials are going to come. Am I preparing myself now with things like Psalm 91? So that when the physical dangers might actually be in front of me, I am going to calmly walk through because I know that the Lord is a strong tower and I need to run into Him and be safe. And He has promised to bless me and honor me and be with me and cast His shadow on me and tuck me under His wings and keep me safe like a mother hen. Yeah.
I just was remembering something that Pastor Eric taught. He
you remember what book he was talking about when he said that?
It was Job.
It was Job. That's right. My parents have that on their fridge still from when Pastor Eric talked about that. That's right. All right. Let's look over at the next page. In verses 3 to 13, it's possible to take phrases that say, it shall not come near you, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you, to mean that trust-filled believers are promised immunity from perils. Sure, people look at it that way and say that. But any one of us can look at our lives, anyone's life, and say, the only person who had that kind of faith was Jesus Christ, and he still had temptations come his way, etc. So how do we know the psalmist is not saying we can have a trouble-free life if we just have enough faith? Right. We have to read our Bibles. It says right there in that verse. If there isn't trouble, what do we need to be protected from? Why do we need a strong tower? Why do we need his shadow? Why is he nurturing like a mother hen? He will hear us. He will answer us. It tells you right there in verse 15. You don't need that if you're never going to have trouble. And you don't need that if you already have everything you need to endure troubles. You don't, right? You know. It's hard. How am I going to get through this? So there's a lot of poetic words, phrases, and pictures that are not promising a trouble-free life. So let's think about some other thoughts I'm going to throw at you now. Do you think most Christians, and let's get more specific, do you think the people at Saving Grace Bible Church feel free to let others know when they're going through a time when things are not okay? Candace thinks so. Colleen thinks so. Linda thinks so. So does Elizabeth. Let's talk about the church at large. Do you think in general Christians feel free to let others know when they're going through a time when things are not okay? Not always, okay? But tell me why some people don't.
Fear of rejection.
Rejection because?
They feel like they're different than someone else and that they're so much better than you are, that nobody else has that problem, and so you're going to look at me and think that it's me and that it's, you know, something that, like, I'm just a wretched sinner. It's our fear of me and pride, you know.
So it's the fear of man, they'll think bad about me, or it's the pride, I have to act like nothing can ever faze me. Okay? Why else? Yeah, Tori.
You don't want to burden anybody, you don't want to bring them down. They're having a great time. I don't want to be the party keeper.
I want to take a vote of hands. How many people say, I don't want to be, you've heard this, maybe you don't have to vote for yourself, of course. How many of you have heard, I didn't want to be a burden? Pastor, I didn't tell you because I didn't want to take up your time, or I don't want to be a burden, or I thought you had more important people to talk to. Bigger trials, right? Okay, I've said that. Yes, we identify with those things. Where does Scripture confront that idea? How can we confront it with the 30-odd of us that are in here tonight so that we don't do that?
Bear one another's burdens.
Bear one another's burdens. How many times is that written in the New Testament?
A lot.
How many do we need? One. There's 51 another's. They don't all say bear, but most of them say bear one another's burdens. All right. For those of you who have stepped out of fearing man, have shared your burdens with someone else, do you agree that when you allow your sister or brother in Christ to help bear your burdens, that the weight divides, the love multiplies because you become closer? if you are in a small group or a home group like ours, the more we talk about our specific burdens and struggles in our home group, the closer and tighter that little family becomes. Because we're bearing one another's burdens, so we're obeying scripture. We're helping one another. We're not being self-focused. We're like, how can I help you? We want to, you know, and then we start living more like in understanding of one another. And the closer you are, the less you're judging. So we're just getting rid of all those sinful things. Yeah. So all that to say, we're not promised a trouble-free life. But are we being honest? And are we obeying scripture to let each other help bear the burdens of the pestilence by day? The wild things that are out there? I've seen beautiful, beautiful love in this church when the hurricanes came and how needs were met and cared for so practically. So it is true that it is going on here. What responsibilities, this is still, I'm just asking you, let's think about it. What responsibilities do we have when a believer lets us know something's not okay? Here is my burden. What should you do? Pray for them. It's one of the greatest things you can do. What were you going to say, Colleen?
Pray.
Oh, did you say it?
She said it at the same time I went.
I knew she mouthed something. Okay, here's a bonus point. Think about the person who's talking to you and their character overall also. They don't need a sermon or a lecture in that moment, do they? You need to help lift their burden, not add a rock on top of their heavy pack. What can you do to divide their burden and help carry it with them, not add more on top? Now I say, if you know their character, you know that they're in the middle of struggling under the pressure. But as you help relieve the pressure, then you're encouraging with the truth. They will come and see it, right? So I'm just encouraging you to help divide it before you start reciting scripture passages to them. Just a little suggestion. Because they probably already know it's true, and you can remind them of that by the end of the conversation, but at the beginning, help lift it first. Okay. So to sum it all up, still thinking about it. What is the main point the author is making with this long list of dangers on your page? What do you think? Yeah. Yep, they say we're either going into a trial, we're in a trial, or we're coming out of a trial. So it's not if, it's when. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. Look at Job. He was fully righteous. So also, you're going to get trials, even if you're obeying God. And what do we know? They are for our good and for God's. So again, get our eyes back on God, who is our dwelling place. He has all these names over here as well. He has made promises. They are written right here in Psalm 91. So we have a list of all the detailed ideas of how things could go bad. You can translate those to modern day very easily without, no problem there. So you're not rewriting the scripture, but you can think about the hurricanes and the alligators and your own heart and so forth. But the reminder is, look at God. Look at his promises. Some of the promises are made to us, and all are made for us. If you had nothing but this psalm, you would have incredible encouragement for every corner of your life that's coming upon you. This section below on 42 I was so encouraged by this section. You know, my Lord, my shepherd, my strength, my shield. So down here at the bottom, some of you probably already wrote it down, but we need to acknowledge the dangers and troubles, see both physical and spiritual dangers, and remember God's promises. Give me a second because we've been just marinating in what we've been doing, and that's primarily what the Lord has had for us tonight as I look at the clock. So let me figure out what, let's see. The next section talks about even when we're walking through these troubles, and the author brought it up. I always think about it, Pilgrim's Progress, when he's walking through and there's constant dangers. I mean, the very first one, he's in the Slough of Despond and he's got the burden on his back because he still needs to be saved and he's just caught up in the mess. Once he's saved, right, he's got the Vanity Fair calling at him and the lions and the dungeon. Is it Dungeon of Despair? Yeah. There's people along the way that are distracting. And so here on page 43, it just gives us the example of the tender care from God's heart and how he created man and God himself breathed his life into us. How this was so great. I don't know if you thought this too. God's sewing. Okay, he made clothes. I really was like, I've never paused on that before. So God sewed coverings. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited about this study because we don't slow down and catch that sometimes. Okay. Obviously, no, he could say it and it would be there as well. So, but the idea, like the scripture says this, he breathed into Adam's nostrils. He sewed them clothes. In Hosea, the imagery, I taught him to walk. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love. I lifted their yoke. I bent over and I fed them. The imagery in Isaiah of the tender shepherd, the gathering chicks like a mother hen, of God wiping away every tear from our eyes. And really, when we see this tenderness that God is willing and able to do for us, why are we so busy trying to be self-sufficient? Why are we trying to handle it all so we look good to everybody else? I can handle it. Why? God gave us each other. He told us to help each other. He gave us himself, which is the most important thing. He told us to run to him, that he would keep us safe. He would be our protection. He would be our shield and our buckler here at the bottom of page 43. I had to look up buckler. Did anyone else look that up? I was thinking belt buckle because it just sounds like belt buckle, but it's just a small shield. So it's like the big shield for like the flaming arrows and like they'd form the little protection shell. And then the small shield on the arm is the buckler. So you've got like the up close sword battle, and then you've got the bigger one to hide behind. So he's every form of protection for us. So I just summarized that page, but let's think. Why are word pictures like these important for us in times of trial? How are these word pictures helping you? Jenica?
I think because they appear in your mind.
You can picture it.
Yeah, you picture it.
Isn't God kind for those of us who are visual? Obviously, there's words to be read for those who are that, you know, they take in the thought and process it. Some of us are visual, and God's so kind. He gave us pictures. We can picture this in the natural world, or we can picture this in battle. What else? Why are word pictures like these important in times of trouble? Anything else you wrote? Thought of? What?
Helps us understand certain concepts about God.
Uh-huh.
We wouldn't be able to understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, we might skip over it like God's sewing. All right. Are these things important in times of peace? Why would these word pictures be helpful for you in times of peace? Colleen?
So, like, the idea of, like, with the shield, like, being able to extinguish the darts of, you know, the flaming darts, like, it has to be... Terry said this, so if I'm wrong,
we'll blame Terry.
But he had said that they would douse their shield with water so that it would extinguish
mm-hmm.
the dart. So you have to do that before the arrow starts coming
excellent
at you. And so that's
preparation
the time for preparing. Yeah,
yeah, Yeah, because the shields were covered with leather, as far as I know, so they could, like, there could be some water retention there. And then when the enemy shot arrows that had fire on them, the darts would put it out. All right, so in times of peace, we need to be preparing for the times of trouble, because we know they're coming. We need to know who our God is so that when we get into the press, I learned this from Dr. Mack, but it's like what is in the sponge is what happens when it gets squeezed out. But Rebecca Ragg keeps repeating hers, especially in Semwives. So now we all like say the saying, what goes, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. So you have to be filling yourself with truth when you have all this pleasant time of just soaking in God's word. Things are great. I'm going to be learning and preparing so that when the press comes, the sponge is squeezed, what comes out? Should be good theology, running to God. Where's my Psalm 91? All right. Okay, the section on angels, I really don't have interest in getting into. I'm sure that could possibly get a little, like, weird. But I think the most important thing that I want to say about the section on angels is they are God's helpers. We are not praying to them. They do his bidding. They are protecting us, but they are created beings. They are the created. They are not the creator. So the main point is that we focus on the creator. All right. Let me see here. All right. We're going to do some group discussion. I just really love that for all of us. So we're just going to skip a bit here. And I don't mind because this has been amazing tonight. Thank you all. So let's discuss in our groups. Day in and day out, day out. Okay. Don't mind me. Day in and day out. How hard is it to make the Lord your dwelling place? What can we do to help one another in this endeavor? So question one looks like it's hard, or no, it's not hard. Don't leave it at that. I didn't write the word why, but it's a discussion. So do more than say yes, it's hard, or no, it isn't. And then the second part, how can we help one another? All right, so I'm going to give you till 8:15. Okay. Anything else that stood out? Yes, Christina?
Being consistent in your spiritual disciplines, were there things that stood out?
Uh-huh. So that's personally, though, right?
Yes.
But how would...
But it could be corporate, too, because if you're not attending Bible study, if you're not going to service, if you're not staying in the Lord,
Yeah, it completely applies. What can we do to help one another in this endeavor? We must individually be growing and being strengthened. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's individual. Uh-huh. What's like the number one question disciples might ask you? What did you study this week? What are you reading? Where are you at spiritually? What are you investing your time into? Yeah. Okay, let's see. This one... we're going to talk about a little bit, and then you can be writing it down if you want to. But we're going to just talk about God's names briefly as we wrap up, starting on actually page 46. With the Lord's names a vital part of knowing him, trusting him, and running to him in days of trouble, it's easy to see how important his names are. So at the beginning of Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of God shall abide under the shadow. I'm sorry, that's her translation. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Most High God is El Elyon, by the way, in the Hebrew. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shaddai. El Shaddai. The Almighty God. The safe place. I will say of the Lord, okay? Lord is Elohim. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. And I mentioned earlier that God means the supreme power. So what difference do the names of God make in your, the testimony of your life? This is the question on the page under number 6. What did you think about this week? What difference do the names make in this believer's testimony? Or in yours? Sorry, I read it wrong. Colleen?
So I was sharing there a little time. Like, sometimes I can get pigeonholed into just thinking about God, like putting him kind of in a box of like, he wants me to obey, he wants me to be this way, he wants me to do these things. But then like I lose sight of his other characteristics, like the, oh gosh, it's like,
you're describing him as a parent.
Yeah, but not as like this tender, like, so that really ministered to me when we were going through that in the study, because it was like, oh man, like I need that other, like I need a balanced, healthy, like robust view of who God is, not just like a one-sided, like, yes, those things are true, but he's not only those things, he's also these other things.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. That's great. Okay. In question 7, it says, much like Psalm 91, Psalm 18 is the testimony of a believer who has faced danger and taken refuge in the Lord. When you compared them, what are the truths about God you gleaned out of that psalm also? He is our
fortress,
refuge, rock,
deliverer,
God, which means he's blameless, tried, full of strength and power.
He's Lord.
Uh-huh. Excellent. So there are, I love the way that Colleen said that. I pigeonhole God. I put him in a box that he is just these things. That's our narrow human mindset. But when you look at names, I mean, even just the colorful description over here, I was recently talking to my discipler, and she was talking to me about Elroy. Do you see it up there? Elroy, it's eyes. It's the eyeballs. It means the God who sees. And I was like, oh, like we had this whole discussion, and I was like, that's in our book. So I came back, and I was like, came back from meeting with her, and I was looking up Elroy, and the story is the one of Sarah sending her slave girl away out into the desert. And that is where in Scripture she calls out to Elroy, the God who sees. Here she is out in the desert, pregnant, because she was forced into this situation to bear a son for Abraham because they weren't waiting on God's promises. And she cried out to the God who sees, Elroy. And you know what? My discipler was thinking about that. And then she passed on to me, and I started thinking about it in my situations. God sees me. He sees my heart. He hears my cry. And you move on, and the other ideas of how he is your provider, the Jehovah Jireh. He is the great God who created everything. He's holding everything together because he is Elohim. Whew, we need to open up the boxes, don't we? What a great opportunity tonight for us to think about his names, even... She highlighted from those verses that there's like 5 names of God in those first few verses. So we can meditate on God's names in combination instead of the pigeonhole. He is all those things over there. We should be using different names in prayer. Anyone tired of hearing people say Lord at the end of every sentence? What did you guys write down on the question that was, what is the name you tend to use the most? Usually it comes after dear when you start your prayer. What's the word? Lord? Father? God? Anyone say something different? I didn't hear. Okay. Have you prayed to Jesus lately, or Holy Spirit, or any of these names? If you're struggling financially and with literal provision, you might need to pray to Jehovah Jireh. Why not call him by the name of what you're going to talk to him about? That might somewhat reveal what we're not talking to him about. Like, he knows it all. Are you talking to him about it all? Do you need to learn some of God's names? I think tonight reveals that to us. And that's why I revealed it on the wall over there to you, too. There are very specific names of God. Then there are truths about him. He's our strength, our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our refuge, our stronghold. Nothing can come against us. But we need to run and be safe, it says. So I personally love just even hearing his names in the original language. When I look at the Hebrew words, that's the original. So that's something that I personally really enjoyed as we were looking at these and studying them. And the question remains, when we make the Lord our dwelling place, what difference will it make? So the difference this will make for you as you leave Bible study tonight is your eyes will be off of self and your circumstances, because you know you have a strong provider, a strong protector, and a refuge. I'm pretty sure you're all going to walk out of here knowing that tonight. Get your eyes and your focus off of yourself and circumstances. Grow in your faith. Someone tell me what faith is. Hebrews 11:1.
Sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
Okay. Are you certain that God is all these things? If you are, that's faith. If you aren't, that's not faith. Christians should be growing in faith. So if you're looking at yourself and you're like, I don't know that God always provides. I don't think of him as a father. You need to go study those things, learn those things that are true about him and undeniable, and grow in your faith. This will bring you greater peace, less anxiety, less fear. Girls, we do not have an excuse. When we studied hope, we were reminded that do not fear is written 365 times in the Bible. Maybe someone fudged the number to be convenient there to the number of days in a year. Maybe not. Maybe God was extremely accurate. Every single day, do not fear. 1 Peter 3 on the passage for women. But Sarah obeyed God, obeyed her husband without any fear. Big problem for women, married women, is fear. Oh, okay, God, I need to know who you are so that even when my life feels like it's in turmoil in my home, in my life, outside of my home, I'm going to have greater peace, less anxiety, less fear because of who you are. You will glorify God. That's the difference it will make. Instead of unglorifying God, you might be busy glorifying yourself. And, ladies, the difference it will make, you can encourage others just like the author of this psalm who went through these horrible things, wrote it down to encourage you tonight. He actually experienced these things, called upon his Lord, and left us an example in Scripture. God made him walk through those things to be an example to you. So, encourage others with what God has done for you. Shout his praise, call him by name, and you will truly be blessed. I was thinking of a mighty fortress as our God. We don't have time to go over that. So next week we will have chapter 4, memorizing Psalm 90, verse 5 and 6. I will be here next week, but the following week my family is going on vacation, so Linda will be teaching. So I'll give you the heads up. All right. Anything else you would like to say? Questions? Kleenex? All right. If you're curious about any of these, the book up here has all the definitions right here in the back. If you're just interested tonight, you want to come look at it or ask me, what in the world was your child drawing? Happy to try to interpret that. I will say Jehovah Jireh is the picture of Disney World because the Lord provided the money for us to buy year passes. That particular year. My daughter was very thankful for God's provision. All right. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, the name above all names, Lord, you are our wonderful counselor, our Prince of Peace, our mighty God, our everlasting Father. Lord, we ask you to open the eyes of our hearts to grasp more each day who you are, what your names are, Lord God, that we may live in the light of them, that we may honor you, glorify you, run to you when troubles come. Lord, we are foolish to do anything else. Lord, even as we've talked tonight about how we can encourage one another and spur one another on towards love and good deeds, we thank you for the opportunity to be reminded that our lives are not for us, but they are for loving you in all aspects of who you are, and they are in loving and serving one another. Lord, continue to strengthen the bonds of love and support and encouragement and burden bearing between these sisters. Help us to cast those things upon you and to direct each other to cast our burdens upon you, even as we help bear them. May we continue to meet the practical needs of the physical trials in life for one another, but may we always be the most focused on helping in the spiritual realm, Lord God, strengthening each other, strengthening ourselves for the battle, preparing in the times of peace so that we'll be ready when these trials come. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you for this opportunity to be taught by you and by the human author that you allowed to go through these trials that we might learn from their example. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for these sisters. Thank you for your truth and for the love that you have shown us that we might show one another. Help us to go forth from this room into the trials of the week ahead that are coming, and to call out to you, our stronghold, our secret place, that we may hide in the shadow of your wings, Lord God, and be saved. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.